Rubicon 360, the world's most prestigious podcast dealing with every aspect of life at the University of Connecticut. My name is Tom Breen. I am your facilitator of sorts. Joining me, as always, Julie Bartuka.
Happy spring.
And Ken Best.
We do have spring, finally.
And we are coming to you from the Benton Museum of Art on the store's campus. Thanks again, as always, to Nancy Stula and the folks here for making us feel right at home. And thanks to you, our loyal listeners, for downloading, subscribing, rating, reviewing, and shouting our URL to passersby. This week, we have a very special episode because it's our commencement episode. As you're listening to this, finals week is almost over. It's the midway point. And this Saturday begins a weekend of commencement activities. It's roughly 9,000 people. Graduate, undergraduate, and professional degrees will be awarded.
Did you count them all?
I hand counted them all. Took me a long time.
It must be accurate after all.
Exactly. So it's a very festive time at a university, of course, and we are going to hear some UConn memories from graduating seniors. We're also going to learn some facts about past commencements. And I was reading up on commencement, and I want to take this opportunity to tell anyone listening to this, if you're planning on attending one of our commencement ceremonies, balloons are only allowed in Jorgensen Auditorium.
Why?
I don't know. That was one of the FAQs on the commencement website.
It probably says, don't want them to go up in the rafters of Gamble.
No balloons in Gamble or Rome Ballroom. Huh. Just in Jorgensen.
So everyone who has graduation in Jorgensen, bring a balloon.
Bring balloons.
You can.
They're welcome.
Take advantage.
All right. Let's go from balloons to headlines. Husky headlines. Julie, what's happening this week?
This is a terrible segue because this is the grossest Husky headline we've ever had, I think. It's been widely covered nationally over the past few weeks. My uncle, who lives in Pittsburgh, actually sent it to me to make sure I mentioned it on the podcast. My favorite actual news headline about it that I found was from the Miami Herald. Using the bathroom hand dryer just flings poo particles all over you, study finds. So yeah, a study led by Dr. Peter Setlow at UConn School of Medicine found way more bacteria in air blasted from the hand dryer nozzles than in regular bathroom air. Those lidless toilets in public restrooms make things worse. When you flush, fecal bacteria gets into the air, and then that concentrated air through the hand dryer blows tons of bacteria right onto your hands. So the bottom line, sorry Mother Earth, but please use paper towels to dry your hands in public restrooms.
Wow. We're not afraid to tackle the tough issues on this podcast.
Very important. Public safety issues.
Every time I go to a public restroom now that only has the dryers, I'm going to be very accusatory. Ken, how do you follow that?
It's always tough to follow that kind of stuff.
It is.
And I wouldn't want to anyway.
You don't want to shake hands with it.
Oh.
The Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity, which we have in our Hartford campus area, has a new study out on the mistreatment of people because of their weight. And it's the first time that they're looking at men's weight, not women's weight. And the study is in the journal called Obesity. The big news is that men may be experiencing weight stigma rates similar to women. Negative biases against people with obesity are widespread and can contribute to physical and emotional health problems. Previous studies of weight stigma have often focused on women and indicate women's experience is more than men, which is why they keep studying it. Online study of about 1,500 participants, which means it's a statistically valid survey. Among the key findings, 40% of men across all the samples of the participants reported experiencing weight stigma. Men who experienced it were younger, less likely to be married, and have most likely tried to lose weight in the last year, and it often begins in childhood. We also have some information about what's coming up since school is pretty much over for a period before we begin the summer sessions. We are almost upon the Nutmeg Summer Series, which will have three musicals. Disaster on June 7th starting, Sweeney Todd June 21st, Jesus Christ Superstar July 12th, and American Puppet Modernism will be at the Ballard Institute. Literally, that is the title of John Bell's book, so he curated the exhibit, of course. And we will have a print sampler, printmaking techniques through the Polish prints 1960 to 1990 here in the Benton Museum of Art.
Lots of fun stuff going on this summer.
So you can come down and look and listen and have fun.
Very nice. As for me, I just want to take this opportunity to express on behalf of everyone at UConn 360 our condolences on the death of Ray Nieag. Along with his wife, Carol, Ray was the largest donor in the university's history. Ray was a 1956 graduate of the university. Most prominently, the Nieags made hugely significant contributions to the School of Education, which is named for them, and to cancer research in the form of the NEAG Comprehensive Cancer Center. Ray died at home on April 19th at the age of 86 with Carol by his side. And Ray really embodied not just the lifelong ties our graduates have to the university, but a commitment to the mission of public education, which we could certainly use more of in this day and age.
Send our condolences to his family.
Speaking of lifelong ties to the university.
Again with the segue.
Julie.
Yes.
You've talked to some seniors.
I have.
And tell us what they told you and what we're going to hear from them.
All right. So we just thought it would be fun to talk to a bunch of seniors who are graduating this weekend and talk about their memories of UConn. As I've talked about before, and we all know UConn is about a lot more than just what goes on in the classroom. And a lot of people have great memories of college, very nostalgic. So we wanted to find out what they love about UConn and what they will always carry with them. So check it out.
So what's your favorite memory of your time at UConn?
Oh, God, I might need a second for that one.
Oh, my gosh. Come on. My roommate has the full list.
Oh, I got to think about that. That's hard.
That's a loaded one. Here we go. My favorite memory.
My favorite memory.
UConn skydiving. If you get the chance to do it, I'm not a huge risk-taking kind of guy, and my roommate and I just decided, you know what, let's go skydiving. UConn skydiving offers a deal. If you can go with the skydiving club and just do it once, you will not regret it.
The time I went with Subog on the ski trip, it was my first time going skiing ever, and I got to do something that maybe I would have not been able to do or had the opportunity to do otherwise.
I think my favorite memory at UConn was the first ever Huskython that I was a part of my sophomore year.
Huskython is an 18-hour danced marathon that we host every year, and it's essentially what it says. You go into our field house, which is connected to the gym, and you stay there for 18 hours dancing the entire time.
I was actually doing it with the UConn Pre-Dance Society. I got there and right away, I knew that I was in for the time of my life.
And throughout the year, you actually raise support, and all of the proceeds go to the Connecticut Children's Medical Center.
It was just such a great experience to see all the work that students had put in throughout the year. It came together, and we were able to reach a goal that we wanted to hit, and it was truly beautiful.
You actually get to meet the kids where the funds are going and get to spend time with them. And so my favorite memory is actually playing laser tag with our miracle child, his name is Shamar, and he was just the happiest kid I think I've ever seen. And you know, he was beating the crap out of me in laser tag. So that was really, really fun.
I would have to say going on tour with the gospel choir. So every year, the whole choir gets on a bus and we take professional musicians and we usually head down south where it's warm during spring break. Everything seemed like it was going wrong on this tour. Our bus driver literally at one point pulled over to the side of the road, got off the bus, we were on our way to a concert, and said he was out of commission for an hour and took a nap on the grass. Stuff like that sounds like it's from like a movie, you know? We still had an incredible time. We were swimming at 2 o'clock in the morning, sharing food on the bus, and we came back a family. And I felt bad for the people who didn't have a chance to go because you could tell that we had gotten so close over that trip. And we got to go and spread joy through singing gospel. And except, you know, we get a lot of invitations because the choir has been on campus for about 50 years now. So we're getting pretty well known in the Connecticut area and all over the country. So tour is literally one of my favorite experiences. And now that I actually am a senior and have to plan tour, I see why everybody was so stressed.
In terms of a favorite UConn memory, it's really difficult because UConn has been probably the best 4 years of my life up until this point. And I think one of the reasons why that is because you're in an environment where everyone wants you to grow. And I think in high school, everyone wants you to get to the next point of college. And UConn is a place where they want you to develop as people as well as academics and as students, because it's only 4 years. And it can be the best years of your life, but it's also just the beginning. And I think in thinking about the great experiences that I've had thus far, it's been because of the people. Whether it's a diner run after the last night of production with the Daily Campus, or running arguments with Moot Court, or even just hanging out with my friends and watching Hocus Pocus. You know, there's so many different ways you can engage at UConn, and seeking as many of those as possible with the people you love, doing what you love, I think is something that's not necessarily unique to UConn, but something that is really wonderful about the college experience in general. And I can't pinpoint one exact moment just because I've enjoyed so many of them.
Okay, so I think one of my favorite memories is when I was a freshman and I was just getting used to being in my dorm and going to the dining hall and meeting so many new people. We used to meet outside of West where the volleyball courts are, and just as many kids as wanted to, we would all just play volleyball together. There was one kid who had a volleyball, and we would all just play for a couple hours and then end up going to the dining hall together, hanging out in someone's room. And that was just one of my fondest memories of just making a lot of the friends that I live with and still am friends with today. That was the first time that I really started just to love UConn and really feel like I was a part of it and just sort of figure everything out, which is one of the biggest accomplishments when you're a freshman, is just sort of figuring everything out and feeling like you belong.
My favorite memory over the past 4 years here was definitely getting accepted into NEAC. I found out during one of my Jumpstart meetings, and I couldn't really tell anyone or like express it in the moment because it was like we were having a meeting and I couldn't really say anything, but I just kind of started sweating and like thinking a lot in my head. But it was just a really validating moment because that's the reason that I decided to come here, and it just really affirmed my desire to be a teacher and is the reason that I'm still so passionate about education today.
My favorite UConn memory, I would have to say, would be joining my learning community now. I'm a part of Scholars House. It's a learning community geared towards African-American males, and I love the experience that I get there. So I love being around people that understand where I come from, understand my background, have similar questions, have similar challenges, but also have similar triumphs.
So one of my favorite memories of UConn was actually my freshman year. So we went to the women's championship game. I went to Campbell Pavilion with all my roommates. I had an exam on Monday, but we went anyways. The entire building was filled with UConn students. They had huge screens, and then the women's team actually won. And what we did was we flooded the entire floor of Campbell. We were singing "We Are the Champions," and it was really amazing to see how our community came together. And we were so passionate about something that, you know, all of us could connect to and all of us could relate to. In that moment, we weren't really individuals. We were just one UConn community, just super excited to celebrate what was going on. And then we ran outside, we flooded the student union. They were giving out free t-shirts, free food. Music was playing. It was super exciting. So it was definitely a great moment to see and feel that kind of pride, that UConn pride. You know, we always say students today, Huskies forever. And I think in that moment, that's when I really realized how true that statement was and how those experiences will stay with you forever.
Said you love UConn. I assume everyone loves
UConn.
Yeah.
So why do you love UConn?
Why do I love UConn?
Oh my gosh. These are such hard questions. But they're such good questions.
There's so many reasons.
I think my favorite part about UConn is that there is just something for everyone. A lot of the times at other schools, they're sort of focused on certain majors or they're known for certain majors, but at UConn, we're really known for how we have everything. I have friends that are into the sciences. I have friends that are into working with animals. I'm in the journalism department. There's friends who are working on computer science projects. And then just outside of that, organizations. I get to work at the television station. I have friends in sororities. I have friends who race horses on the weekend, and that's all because of UConn, because there's so many little things for everybody to try out that everyone will find their place, everyone will find their niche, and I think that's what makes UConn so great.
I love UConn because of all the amazing people that I've met and just the amazing, amazing relationships I've built and the opportunities that I've been able to, you know, take a hold of with my friends, with my faculty members, with mentors. The Husky Nation that we have here is just such a strong support system, and I think has really allowed me to grow and develop into, you know, the student and the leader that I am today.
It's going to sound so cliche, and I'm sure everyone else is going to say it, but it's the people. Everybody at UConn that I've met is just genuine. You're going to meet people from all walks of life, but for me, I was able to connect with them, relate to them, and the sense of school spirit. Every college visit you go to, people say that they have school spirit. Very few schools, I think, can actually back that up, and UConn was one of those. And coming from a high school that prided itself on brotherhood, I went to an all-boys high school. Coming to college, I wanted that same sense of community, and I absolutely found it here through sports, through Husky Mania, even just talking to different people.
I love UConn because when I decided to come here, my mom said, UConn is a hardworking school. They have a point to prove. And that is so true because the programs that they provide, the opportunities, the connections things you get through alumni who are so willing to reach back and help students. People say that, but until you actually reach out to somebody and realize that it really is true. We have a great reputation, even with internships and going into businesses, and with the interviews I've been able to land is because UConn has such a great reputation.
This is going back to Beth because she's just such a queen. And so in high school, I wore exclusively suits, which I think says something about how supportive my parents are, a little too supportive. So thank you, Mom and Dad. But when I got to college, this is like my second week, and I was in UNIV, or like the freshman first year experience course, and we were doing resumes. And so in high school, I had a 30-page resume because, you know, go for it, right? But it was like individual community service hours. And so I show up to Beth's office to do a resume critique that they have all the freshmen do. And I had my 30-page resume, and I had a LinkedIn, because what 16-year-old doesn't have a LinkedIn, right? And she was like, oh, so like, what year are you? And I was like, I'm a freshman. And she was like, it's the third week of school. Like, I'm really glad that you're here, but calm down. Just the people you meet here are wonderful. And I think that's what makes UConn so special and so incredible, is everyone really cares if you care as well.
I think what I love about UConn is just, for me, it was close enough to home, to be near home, but also it's its own kind of world, and just the people at UConn, everyone is so happy to be at UConn and so proud to be a Husky. That makes it really just great to be around people like that.
I love UConn because it not only gave me a reason to get out of New Jersey for a year, but I love UConn because it's been my home away from home for the past 4 years. And I know that sounds cliche, but truly I've made a home for myself here. I've made friends, lifelong friends actually, and I've met administrators and professors that have truly changed my life and changed the course of my life actually. I mean, there are a lot of things that I never thought I'd see myself doing until I got here. I am so grateful for the opportunities, academic and extracurricular, or just life experiences that UConn's given me. And I can't believe that I'm leaving. I truly have UConn to thank for allowing me to grow as an individual.
UConn gave me such a great balance of experiences where academically I was able to really grow, I was challenged, and I was really able to learn about what my strengths are, and that prepared me to go on to medical school next year. And then also, you know, socially, I was able to find a family not only in my close friends, but in every staff that I've worked with, every workplace environment I've been in, every community I've joined. And that's something that I will always be grateful for, is the community that I found here. And not only the different people that I've met, the cultures that I've experienced, and, you know, the individuals that I've encountered, but just in general, an overall holistic experience that I think I've changed as a person coming in from a freshman, graduating as a senior, but I think I've definitely changed for the better and met some of the most unforgettable people here.
What I love about UConn is that it's a really big campus, but it starts to feel small really quickly. The more you start to get to know people and meet people in different departments and organizations, it really feels like its own small community, and that you know people across all areas of campus. And I think that can only happen with getting involved in different things and learning about yourself. And I think UConn makes it really easy to do that.
I love UConn because, one, I get to stay close to home. But now that I'm a senior, I've made amazing memories. I've made amazing friends. And, you know, sometimes you say it's not where you go, but how you enjoy it. And I've definitely been able to enjoy my UConn experience.
Perfect. Anything else before we
No, and now I'm just sad I'm graduating. This is making me sad.
That was great.
Thank you. I just want to thank all the students who we talked to. Frank Amafuna, Fabiola Bacinello, Austin Barrett, Elizabeth Cherish, Richa Shaya, Julia Gorman, Natalia Gutierrez, Matthew Lynn, William Corey Moore, Sean Palzer, and Elizabeth Turner. And Elizabeth Cherish in her piece was referring to Beth Setjay of the Center of Career Development when she called her such a queen.
You know, when I hear those inspiring voices, I am moved to reflect once again that I really should have done more as an undergraduate. You know? But that ship has sailed.
It has.
Did it crash in the ocean?
Kind of. I mean, now all I have is the cold embrace of regret. This is kind of a time of year when it's natural to think about our own college experiences, our own graduation experiences. You were class of, Julie, you were class of...
2010.
2010.
Yes. Fairly recent, but...
We can still remember that.
Feels very long ago at this point, yeah. So I was kind of in the same vein as what Elizabeth Cherish in that piece talked about, it's really the little moments with your friends that stick out. I have the best group of friends that I still talk to pretty much every day via the wonders of group messaging. And we're still really close. We met in Shippey freshman year. So most of my favorite memories are just hanging out with them, spending hours in the dining halls, you know, after we were done eating, reflecting on our Friday nights on Saturday morning. But other than that, one thing that does stick out that was a little bit more of a unique college experience thing was when President Obama was elected in 2008. And I lived in South with a couple of my best friends. And all of a sudden we hear all this noise outside. And there was this huge throng of students just walking through the quad in South, shouting and chanting, "Yes, we can." And we joined them and we just marched all over campus, gathering more and more revelers, and ended up at the student union to watch his acceptance. And it was just really unique to college and something I will always remember.
Wow, that's a great memory. I don't have anything like that. I do remember there used to be, on a similar theme, there used to be protests every, at least once a week, in front of the libraries. The co-op used to be right next to the library, and there was a space in between. There used to be sort of protests and attempts to get people to sign petitions.
Every week,
and it was always a different cause every week. And I had some friends who, after a while, got kind of tired of being hit up to sign petitions. So they started to do kind of fake protests.
This sounds like a Bill X. Carlson thing.
Yeah, and a friend of mine, Phil DeSlip, who's getting his PhD at UC Santa Barbara, he put on a wig, and he wore, it was like an AC/DC t-shirt, and he tried to get people to sign a petition, and all the petition said is that Guns N' Roses kicks ass.
That's amazing. Like, what year was that?
That was like probably 1998.
Oh, wow, so a little bit beyond the point of... Yeah. Guns N' Roses and AC/DC.
That's kind of what made it pretty good. He got a lot of signatures.
Did people know what they were signing?
Absolutely, they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I agree that Guns N' Roses kicks ass.
You would have happily signed that petition.
Mm-hmm.
We can have different opinions about that.
Yeah, no, I
saw them last year. It was pretty
I wouldn't have
awesome.
Signed it. I want to be clear. I'm more of a Bing Crosby man myself. Now, Ken, speaking of looking back, we have to congratulate you. You recently marked an anniversary here at UConn.
Oh, you're going to talk about that.
We are going to talk about it. We're going to embarrass the heck out of you.
Julie warned me. I said, we don't need to discuss that. 15
years. You started at UConn when you were 14 years old.
Oh.
No. If I told you about my college experience, which was not here like yours was, it was a little bit further south in Connecticut, although mm-hmm. I am from the Garden State originally. My freshman year was the spring of campus shutdowns for the Vietnam War.
Wow.
We had to take pass-fail for the spring semester because there were no classes.
Oh, my God.
Was this like the Kent State Cambodia bombing?
That was exactly what it was at that point.
All right.
Wow.
But coincidentally, just this week, I got an email from one of my classmates. So we have been gathering periodically as alumni of the campus newspaper from back then, and we've been doing that, and now we're planning the next one. So I have to get back to them on what I think we should be doing, because we've been doing it on our own pretty much, but we're going to go back to the campus.
Oh, very nice.
Relive those good times.
You know, talking about all this history put me in mind of one of my favorite places to visit.
Oh, it's the best place on the map.
It's Tom's History Corner, which is going to be renamed.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a narrative, but I thought I would share with you and get your opinions on some commencement trivia from university years past.
If you guys don't know, Tom is the king of UConn trivia.
No.
You should check out UConn magazine.
Just quickly, the institution that would become UConn was founded in 1881, of course. And its first ever graduating class was 1883. They received certificates of completion, not degrees. There were six members of that class. And the commencement ceremony involved each of them reading a paper on agricultural issues, one of which had the magnificent title, Insects Injurious to the Apple.
Wow. Well, apples are very important in this part of the country.
Yeah, they were.
It was an agricultural college, after all.
That commencement ceremony was held in an oak grove located behind what is now Holcomb Hall. I believe the grove is still there.
That sounds really pretty. It sounds like a wedding, like a Pinterest wedding.
Or a druid ceremony.
If you want to go there.
Someone who can identify trees should go back and see if there's an oak grove, because I can't. I grew up in a suburban wasteland. The only tree I know is the Dollar Tree. So 50 years on from that, the institution had changed significantly, but it was still hard to recognize from what we know today. In 1931, the 50th anniversary, there were about 100 degrees awarded, not many. But there were some differences from that first class. For example, women were included among the graduates
in
1931.
Hooray!
There were 30 women in the class of 1931. And the ceremony had moved indoors from the Druid Grove to... it was actually held in Storrs Congregational Church.
Oh.
UConn awarded honorary degrees from 1918 to 1934, and then it stopped for nearly 50 years because of a weirdo legal opinion from the state attorney general that at the time, in 1934, the attorney general thought it was illegal to give honorary degrees.
Okay.
Weren't other places giving it?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is one of the reasons why the most prolific graduation speaker in our history was President Albert Jorgensen, who was a commencement speaker 21 times.
Wow.
Between 1932 and 1962.
Didn't mean you couldn't invite somebody to speak.
No, and in fact, the university attracted some prominent speakers, even without giving them honorary degrees. The first commencement speaker in 1883 was a trustee named J.M. Hubbard, so snooze. But in 1884, the second speaker was the Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, who was one of the most famous Americans of the 19th century. Granted, this was near the end of his life and his fame was in eclipse, but it's still wild that he came to speak to a handful of teenagers standing under some oak trees and reading papers about diseases of the ox.
What else? Very different time.
What else did he have to do?
That's a good point. So since then, commencement speakers have included Vice President Alvin Barkley in 1950. He was Harry Truman's vice president. Fred Mr. Rogers in 1991. That was the first ceremony held at Gamble.
He's the best.
Michael Bolton.
Wait, do you know that was my first concert I ever went to?
Really?
Yeah, when I was 7 years old.
1998, former President George H.W. Bush. That was my older brother's graduation.
Cool.
So I got to see it. David McCullough was 1999. Faye Weldon in 2007. Mia Farrow spoke at the School of Fine Arts ceremony in 2011. And there have been lots of governors and members of Congress and so on. Incidentally, the first woman to speak at commencement was Smith College President Jill Conway in 1975.
Hmm.
And we were talking about some memorable commencement speeches. Ken, you had a good... anecdote.
The Michael Bolton speech was 1995, and do we remember what 1995 represents on this campus?
Basketball.
The first women's basketball championship.
And Rebecca that's a connection.
Rebecca Lobo missed that because she was training with the Olympic team, so she never heard Michael Bolton speak. And
I'm sure she missed some really good nuggets.
And she reminisced about that when she gave the commencement speech in 2008, which... according to, if I have this memory correct, our old friend Mark Roy, a colleague now retired, but the previous historian of our building, said that was the best commencement address he ever heard because it was funny, it was uniquely UConn. And, of course, it was Rebecca, who's a great writer, and if you watch her and hear her on TV, you know what she is capable of doing as a communicator. But along... towards the end of the speech, she was talking about one of her daughters, asking, well, what could I be when I grow up? And she said in her speech, well, you can be anything but a Yankees fan. And then, of course, there were a smattering of boos. And she turned and said, my husband owes me $5 because I bet I could get booed at Gamble.
That's awesome. They have a great relationship. I love reading about them.
They do their own podcast.
Oh, do they?
They do.
I think the commencement speech I would most like to go back in time to hear was delivered in 1904.
Okay.
By the Reverend Pleasant Hunter of Newark, New Jersey, whose address was titled The Future of the Anglo-Saxon.
Wow.
I bet it was something else.
He wasn't talking about an instrument.
No, he was not. He was. I'm sure it was insanely racist by today's standards. I have some random graduation facts. Until 1973... the commencement was always held during the month of June. In 1911 and 1914, changes to the curriculum meant there were no graduates, so no commencement ceremonies were held. They changed the graduation requirements.
So they were like, surprise,
yeah, right,
none
yeah.
of you can graduate.
Yeah, you're all super
you have another
seniors.
Year.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The first senior gift I could find a reference to came courtesy of the class of 1893, which planted a willow tree not far from where we work every day, in the University Communications Tower of Power.
Is it still there?
It's not. The willow tree is no longer there. Sorry, class of 1893. In the early 1970s, President Homer Babbage tried to introduce tricorn hats to replace traditional mortarboards, you know, like colonial patriot hats.
In what year?
1970.
Why?
He wanted everyone to wear the because he thought, well, because it's Connecticut, we're colonial, we're so...
Like, we need more of that stereotype. We're not all pilgrims.
There are photos.
Yeah, it didn't catch on, but there are...
So they actually wore it?
Yeah. There are some hilarious photos from the archives showing students in, like, Paul Revere hats. And but it wasn't until 1907 that they even had graduation gowns. That before that, men wore suits and women wore dresses. So during the 1920s and 1930s, graduating classes typically had 100 to 200 members. And I really wish this still existed. It was a tradition for each graduating senior to sign something called the Book of Knowledge.
Hey.
I don't know what the Book of Knowledge is, but they signed it.
Do you think it exists? Well, it must be in like the Dodson.
We have 9,000 degrees that are given out, so we can't really sign the Book of Knowledge anymore.
That's a lot.
But if anyone knows the whereabouts of the Book of Knowledge, yeah, the Book of Knowledge has to be out there somewhere. That's like an Indiana Jones thing.
Well, we know it's certainly not in this room.
Hey-o!
Hey!
All right. That's all my facts. I hope we've learned a little bit about commencement. Perhaps we've all, metaphorically speaking, signed our own names in the Book of Knowledge. And now we bid you adieu until a fortnight passes. But before we sign off, we want to wish the best to all the graduates of the class of 2018.
You did it.
Make us all proud. Before we sign off, though, we're going to remind you once again to subscribe, rate, review, and tattoo our podcast URL on your arm. Don't do that.
I'll pay you to do that.
We'll give you a special bonus podcast if you got a tattoo.
I'll give you a sticker.
Julie, what's new and where can people find you?
What's new?
On the World Wide Web.
I don't know what's new, but you can find me at Julie Bartuka. And congratulations to the seniors. Thank you to the seniors who talked to me.
Ken?
Congratulations to everyone who's managed to get through 4 or 5 or 6 years of education, because you've got a lot to look forward to.
That's true.
But as Satchel Paige once said, don't look back. Someone might be gaining on you.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And you can find me on Julie's Twitter feed.
You actually can.
Yeah, you can.
Did you guys see our meme, our Ken meme?
It's really good.
A great outtake of last episode.
You can find me at TJ Breen. I'm on Twitter. I think it's tom.breen on Instagram. And congratulations once again to the class of 2018. Until next time, thanks, everyone.